last time on Oz Hour?
Okay, last time on Oz Hour, the fucking uncaptured people go inside the fucking mountain. Shaggy gets taken. Polly's like, we're gonna need Quox, our little dragon friend, because everyone's gone and I don't know what's happening. And so then she goes up there, tries waking this fucking bitch up, and he won't wake up. He's in full REM cycle. And so she goes back down again. Then the fucking gnome king is like weird and creepy, and he's like, I want to marry you. And she's like, no thanks, and hops around, does her little thing. Then she goes back up and gets Quox. Oh, and the gnome king is like threatening people and saying to everyone, I'm going to turn you into this and I'm going to turn you into that. And she goes back up, does wake up Quox. Then they go back down. Quox gets taken by chains around the neck, and he's doing he's just like chilling there, I guess. And Gnome King is like making threats and doing his whole thing. He's like, ha ha ha, and he goes and tries to get everyone, and then no one's actually where they're supposed to be, so he starts torturing the people in front of him and turning them into things. And Quox, he's like, actually, you're done with all of this. Shows him the ribbon, can't do magic no more. Eggs fall out, chase him out of the city, and now whoever, Clementine, Calico, he is now king, and everyone's like, yeah, we should have done that a long time ago. The end. Done.
Hi there, and welcome to episode 50 of Oz Hour, the only place where you can hear everything you never knew about the wonderful and strange Land of Oz.
That's right. With the help of some alcohol, we will be discussing each of the 14 books in L. Frank Baum's Wizard of Oz series.
Today, we will be continuing with Book 8, TikTok of Oz, covering chapters 20 through 22.
We're your hosts, Blake Stone
and Wyatt Swangham.
And joining us, as always, is our resident Oz initiate, Hannah Aguirre. No, we're keeping that. That's what you. That's your mark on the
Something's
earth.
Something's happening to me. that shot up from the bottom of my stomach.
Oh my god!
A huge smile on your face. You were ready to like speak. And burps came out instead.
We're bleeping that.
Hannah, other than what you just did, you also just played last time on. How long was that?
That was 1 minute and 40 seconds.
Oh, shit.
So a little long.
That was a little long.
But it was an insane chapter.
I know.
That was insane.
Going pretty fast.
As you were saying it, I was like, damn, what happened last time?
I don't even remember what happened last time.
So the only things that I would point out for the listeners are the Gnome King knew that the Shaggy Man was coming in with the love magnet. And that's how they captured him.
The long-eared
hair. Yeah, that's
why.
And then also Quox is there to deliver the Jinjin's justice, which is take away the Gnome King's power, dethrone him, force him to wander the Earth's surface with as many jewels and medals as he can carry in his pockets.
Yeah.
Just reminding, because that's actually useful for this episode today. And then also the Oogaboo army is still at large. We have Betsy and Hank back, but we don't know where our Oogaboo's at. They're crawling.
Mm-hmm. We know where they're at.
Yeah.
Crawling.
And before we started recording, Wyatt shook things up. So what is this?
I certainly did. Tonight we are drinking the Fairy's Kiss. The recipe for which you can find on our Instagram at Oz Hour Podcast. It has some rosé in it, a little bit of vodka, some other stuff. It's pretty good.
It smells very summery.
It smells light.
Let's slurp.
Oh my God. Charlie, did you hear that gulp I just made?
Oh, nice.
It was, I thought I was only slurping, but it was actually going down my throat like
You're
a hose.
Thirsty.
College Hannah showed up for her 50th anniversary.
Chapter 20. Quox quietly quits.
Mm.
Yeah, not the quiet quitting
Quilts?
We had in 2020.
L. Frank Baum. L. Frank Baum invented quiet quitting.
L. Frank Baum invented a lot of things.
Next episode,
it doesn't matter.
Oh my god. Anyway, so the chief gnomes are called into Calico's throne room, and they're told that he's the new king, and they all pledge allegiance to him, basically. And it's a brand new day in the Gnome Kingdom.
Unfortunately, none of them know how to get to the Metal Forest. Because as we recall, now the whole thing is that they know that the Shaggy Man's brother, the ugly one, is in the Metal Forest. Like, they know that for sure, but the Gnome King, like, hid the entrances so that nobody could, like, steal from him. So now Calico is like, everybody, like, all gnomes, search. We are searching for the entrance. Like, we have to find it. Let me know when you find it.
Yeah. Quox goes back up to the mountain to sleep while everyone like is getting ready for the great search.
Yeah.
And the next morning they like go and they say goodbye to him. He's like, yeah, like I did what I was supposed to do. My mission's accomplished. You guys are good. I'm going back down the Forbidden Tube.
Yeah.
And so they're like, all right, like see you later. Say thank you to the Jinjin.
Yeah. And they, it's kind of funny because in the writing, it's like, oh, like they also thank him for, or sent his regards to the Jinjin, whose condemnation of Rugado had served their interests so well.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, it's really good luck for them that they found like the only creature being that could help them and also wanted to.
Yeah, like, that's true. They would have had to go to war with the gnomes in order to do what they wanted to do.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that.
Even if they got to the other side of the earth and the Jinjin said, oh, sorry, just jump back in the tube. You're okay. Then they'd all be dead. They would have all been tortured to death. We saw what Rugado wanted to do to them.
True. Yeah.
He wanted to use the torturers and fucking meltdown.
Yeah,
TikTok.
He got a bunch of executioners to play the fucking fiddle with people.
Oh my God, yeah.
Hello. And one of them had to be a dove during that.
Oh,
torture.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awful.
Agony.
Although I'd be a dove.
This is what it sounds like when doves cry.
I'd be fucking bawling if I was a dove. I'd be traumatized.
So get this. After Quox leaves, they search for the entrance to the Metal Forest for
three days. And no luck.
Damn.
During this time, like all throughout the 3 days, Polly is like helping search probably, but a lot of it is like her going outside to like see if her dad's gonna show up. She's like,
she's
getting tired of this.
Manifesting to the sky.
She's like, this isn't my problem.
I'm over here. Exactly.
I should be home right now.
That's like what she's thinking. Like she's getting homesick, obviously, but she's also just like, I've done a lot. I've been so helpful.
And now she's just going somewhere else.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Yeah.
You guys,
it seems like going
farther. I give these people an inch, they take a mile.
It sucks too because it's like she's a sky fairy. She should never be underground. Now she went underground and now they're keeping her there.
Yeah.
And it's like, let her go.
I want the sky.
Yeah.
But where else would she go? Like, it's not like she's captured.
That's true.
No, she just needs her family to find her.
Yeah,
she needs her
family
to find her.
Exactly. Yeah. Because she could walk wherever she wanted, but
she's like, I'm not
going to
be lonely.
Yeah.
Exactly. So every day, she's like going to the top of the mountain and she's staring at the sky waiting for her family to come find her. And one day she's sitting up there on a rock and she just hears like,
it's a zombie apocalypse.
She sees the fucking Gnome King
struggling
up the mountain.
He's just like, kick him.
he looks terrible.
He looks bad.
Oh,
he looks like a
beggar. His clothes are worn. His shoes are gone. He has no hat. He's just like, he looks awful.
He looks dusty.
Yeah. And
because for the last 3 days, the Gnome King, like, he has tried to get back into the cavern multiple times, but every time those goddamn eggs are there.
Yeah, the eggs are just lined up. So he can't even
like,
try.
Oh, I can't. So he goes, he knows that there's this lady who sews, who lives in a cottage at the bottom of the mountain. So for the last 3 days, the Gnome King has climbed down the mountain to get this lady to sew pockets into every inch of his clothes because he still do that treasure as long as he can fit it in his pockets.
Yeah.
Oh.
So he's thinking.
So
he's like
planning. Scheming.
Yes. And in order to pay for all these new pockets, he gives this woman his diamond ring that he has. So he gives her a diamond ring and she's like, yeah, I'll do whatever you want, you fucking freak. But she does. But the thing is, this all reminds him there's a metal forest made of golden trees, silver shrubs, and coated with diamonds and minerals. Well, no, diamonds and rubies and other gemstones.
He just wants his due, Hannah.
Yeah. But he knows where the entrance is.
It was part of the deal.
It was, yeah.
He's cheating, but it was part of the deal.
Yeah. He was supposed to leave forever. Like, he didn't play by the rules, and they were like, okay, then you're done. Because if he had taken his his pocket fulls, he would have already been gone and happy.
He's one that will like make rules, but he won't ever follow rules.
No. Yes. Yeah.
The rules aren't for me, darling.
Yeah. I guess so.
Rules for thee, not for me.
Yes, exactly. I couldn't remember the phrase, so I just put darling on the end. Official and quotable. But Polychrome watches at the top of the mountain as Ruggedo, after his 2-day climb back up the mountain, finds this spring-loaded rock. It opens up so that he can go to one of the secret tunnels to the metal forest.
Yeah.
It's outside the mountain.
So he's just like right next to one.
He marched his ass to it. But he knows where it is. He's the only one who knows where it is.
He's just like, yeah.
Because there's three entrances.
And it happens to be right in front of Polychrome, who he doesn't notice because she's like...
And she's watching.
She's watching. She's like...
We'll add sound effects there.
But so Polychrome's like, and she goes and tells her friends.
She goes,
like,
but
busy
she,
girl.
Yeah. So they run in, and she just immediately tells them what she has seen. And they're like, okay, like, obviously he's going to rob the treasures of the forest. Like, we need to go and like find him and throw him out.
Betsy does remind him, like, okay, we are going to go get his ass, Calico, but Ruggedo is entitled to as much treasure as he can fit in his pockets. Like, the eggs chased him out before he got to do that. We have to let him do that. And Calico's like, that's fine, but I also want to know where the metal forest is, and I want to know what the fuck Calico's doing in there. So, we're going. They're about, like, an hour behind him.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, they enter the cavern, like, not, like, within an hour of the time that he entered it, they enter it. And they're walking for a while, though, inside the cavern. So, like, it's a tunnel, it's dark, so they brought torches, there's a whole little army of gnomes with them, and Betsy's getting tired, so she's sitting on Hank's back, like, you know, they're walking for a while. But then they turn a corner, and they are just struck by this brilliant light. It's the Metal Forest.
It is the Metal Forest. Mm. This place has more treasure than anywhere else in the world, except the Emerald City. And I saw your mouth trying to say.
I was.
Yeah, it is all the trees. That means the bark, the branches, the leaves, like everything on them is made of gold. The underbrush and the like shrubbery and like little tufts of grass are all made of silver, filigreed silver. And it's all like the highest quality gold and silver and craftsmanship you can imagine. And then the floor is just scattered with like precious gems, rubies and sapphires and everything.
Oh my God.
And it must look frankly just terrible. Like I'm imagining all those colors on the ground and then it's like gold and silver. Gaudy. It's gaudy.
It's giving Indiana Jones.
Yeah. It's giving like Aladdin, honestly.
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah. It's the sand walls are about to start falling.
Yeah.
Exactly. Them.
They do. Well, no.
But Shaggy's like, oh my God, like this is the Metal Forest. He's like, is my brother actually in here? And Calico's like, I have on good authority that he's been in here for 2 or 3 years.
Which I'm like, what the heck?
I thought Shaggy was like, oh, my brother just got imprisoned by the Gnome King. We got to go find
him. He was flipping through old pages from the book, from Glenna's book, not watching the current pages. Yeah. So he was, and we weren't told how long it had been.
No.
But we knew he'd been there for some time, but 2 or 3 years?
That's insane.
Dude, his brain is broken.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's, yeah, you spend 3 years. And all you see
that's
is
not your brother anymore.
Yeah, no, he's exactly. They need to forget about him. But Betsy is like, well, what does he eat if everything in here is gold and gemstones and silver? But apparently, there's a grove of like normal food trees just like right over there. He's
like what?
Yeah, I'm like, why? Why did they do that?
This is the Metal Forest Cavern, not the real forest cavern, and we're under the fucking ground.
Not the fucking food tree. Yeah,
this isn't the food tree cavern.
Forest.
If you
cavern.
Want a food tree cavern, have one. This just I have on good authority this is not it.
So they go that way. Toward the food trees though.
As they go, they hear a scream. Then they see jewels like scatter across the like hard ground.
Yeah.
And then someone hiding inside the bushes starts like scramble away. It's like in like a fucking like Jurassic Park movie or something. They see like
yeah.
And like they're trying to get away. Then they hear a voice go, "Halt!" And then they hear several voices, several like,
yeah, and a struggle.
There's a struggle.
And that's the end of chapter 20.
Oh my gosh.
What's up the same thing?
It's like, it's the biggest cliffhanger like that, I feel like has ever existed in Oz. Yeah. But that was called Quawks Quietly Quits. And Blake, what would you call that?
Quawks Quietly Quits. I would call that Quawks completed his task, announced his departure, and then he went home.
Yeah, he did not quietly quit. No.
Yes.
If anything, that was a loud resign. Yeah, but
exactly.
Even then.
He said, I don't need to be here.
Chapter 21, A Bashful Brother.
So everyone is like, what's the commotion all about? Yeah. They run forward to go see. They find Rugado in the like grasses being held by dozens or a dozen of the officers of Oogaboo.
Oh, shit.
Yeah,
oh,
right?
Shit.
They're back. When I read this, I was like, who the fuck could it be? I did not know what to think. I was like, there must be a tribe in
I
there.
I knew they were going to the metal forest.
You called that like two
episodes
ago.
Oh, yeah, you
did.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. But yeah, he's being held by the Oogaboos. Anne is there overseeing the whole thing. And when she sees the rest of them, she like looks away in shame. Because
like,
the Oogaboos have gone through it.
They look like shit.
Oh my God. These guys just wanted to be farmers.
I know. They
and
are
now
just,
they
just
had
farms.
Fucking now they don't have skin on their
they're
legs.
They're traumatized.
Yeah.
They're like they're all the fucking people getting drafted.
Is
that
I was
time.
Gonna say, is this
oh
not just
God.
War for you?
Like, Saving Private Ryan.
Everybody just wanted to be on the farm.
Well, they do wish they were back on the farm. Their clothes are in shreds. Anne's crown is dented and bent. Her shoes are sliced up so much they're like falling off. Her clothes are like all shredded up and torn. And the officers
Queen
look
of
even
slime.
Worse.
Queen of
yeah.
filth.
Yes, absolutely filth. She's even filth. But the tunnel that they were in, which had, I mean, their knees are all skinned up. They've like their hands are bleeding. They're bruised. But it took them a very terrible way into the metal forest. It is one of the three hidden entrances. It is, we are told, by far the worst entrance.
Yeah, why did Rugado have that one made?
Yeah.
I mean, it was like they were able to enter it through the prison.
That's true.
Yeah.
So it's the one less thought about.
Find it? The lights turn on in the metal forest once the prisoner gets there, and Jigsaw is like, you want to play a game?
Oh my God. Too relevant.
But so we learned that when Anne and the officers found their way into the metal forest, they were like, oh my God, look at all this plunder. That's what we want. We want world domination and plunder. But they didn't know what to do with it all. And also, they were trapped in there.
Yeah.
So they were like, oh, this is terrible. It's like that thing with the monkey paw where you really want it and then it's bad.
Yeah.
We can cut that.
But we are now told, though, that they wandered for days in the metal forest. They, like, obviously, because they have been there, like, they have been in there the entire time.
And they
that,
just
like,
don't know what's going on.
Yeah, they're just looking, like, they probably found food. But then all of a sudden they come across the Gnome King. And they're like, oh, he's the one, like, he's alone. He looks like shit. And he's the one who imprisoned us. So they're,
yeah,
like,
they don't know what's
grabbing
going on.
Him. And yeah. The officers did it. The officers had courage for the first time ever because they're fucking dying.
Because they have nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. As far as they know, he, like, put them in this prison and is like watching them or whatever.
Yeah.
They don't know he's not the king anymore. So they attack him. That's what's happening in this moment. And Betsy's like, where have you people been? And Anne tells them all of that and then says that, like, now that they've captured the metal monarch, they can force him to free them from the prison. And Files is like,
like, you guys have really lost your mind. let me get you back up to speed.
Yeah, yeah. So this is Calico. He's the king now, and actually, we're friends.
Yeah. And Calico bows.
Yeah. He's like, sorry about that.
Oopsie.
But then he kind of like looks at Rugado, who's just like groveling on the floor in front of Calico.
Does he feel bad?
Oh, he's so ashamed. Yeah. My fucking servant, who I beat the shit out of all the time, is the king now?
Yeah.
So he's like at Calico's feet.
Does Calico feel bad?
No. Calico says, what are you doing here? Yeah, you were banished from this place.
Good, 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 good. I didn't want Calico to give in, you know?
No. I'm right there with you. Oh, my God. Like, this whole thing is a little cringy for the like Ruggedo, but honestly, like, he deserves it.
Yeah.
He deserves all of it.
Because basically, Ruggedo is like, yeah, he's ashamed. And he's like, I was just promised that I could fill my pockets. So, yeah, I'm going to fill them. And he was like, and then I'll leave and I'll never return.
Oh,
like,
my God, Hannah. It's so embarrassing.
Yeah.
Calico's like, okay, take your gold and shit.
Yeah, he's like, just do it then. Like, I don't even care.
Go away with your 12 pockets on your fucking...
Ruggedo.
Cool, you can get 12 coins. Good for you.
Ruggedo is like greedily stuffing his pockets with all this gold and these rubies.
And he has upwards of 100 pockets on him. She put as many pockets as possible. Okay. He's wearing one big pocket.
She said, you're paying me in a diamond.
Yeah.
She's like, I'll do it. It's getting so heavy in all these awkward places on his body that every time he bends over to pick up more and he can't get back up. So then the girls, Ozga and Betsy and Polychrome, I think, go and like help him up and they're like, we'll fill your pockets for you.
Yeah.
So it's they're just so embarrassing.
And they're picking out the prettiest gemstones.
That's like a creepy old man
and
or something.
Everyone else is watching in silence. Like it's like watching like that friend who's way too drunk and is totally just like making a mess of themselves. It's like watching and being
stop talking about me.
I'm like staring you down. But yeah, then Calico's like, "Hey, you got what you came for. Like, go on." And he kind of just like gives the Ruggedo kind of gives the girls just like nod to like say thank you for like helping me with my greed, and then like hobbles out because his robe is
so heavy.
What's
he gonna do with
he's
all of that?
He's a monster.
Yeah.
Okay.
They all watch and then they're just kind of like.
That was super awkward.
Yeah, much.
Like they're gonna talk about that for the rest of the night.
But Shaggy Man is just like, so anyway, that's good. Where's my brother though? And so then we're like back to the task at hand, basically. And Anna's like, Anne, who you know they've been wandering in this cavern. She's like, well, what does he look like? And Shaggy Man kind of hesitates. And Betsy is like, he's called the ugly one, if that helps. And Anne says they've only seen one person in this cavern since they've arrived. But every time they see it, it goes and runs away and they've never seen its face, which is horrifying. You've been like, you crawl your way through this like tunnel, you enter the cavern and for days, there's some other being in there running from you that
and
you've
you
never
just
seen
never
its face.
See
the Shaggy
it?
Man's brother is a Yeti.
And literally, yeah, it's giving Bigfoot. It's giving Skinwalker. It is.
You say Bigfoot and it's one thing, then you go and say Skinwalker and it's like, lock the doors. But yeah, she's like, yeah, this dude, I don't know. He lives over in the real trees.
Yeah, she's like, he's right over there. He's hiding right now. And so Shaggy Man is like, okay, that must be my brother, I guess. And
ew.
So Betsy's like, well, why would he be over there with the real trees? And Shaggy Man is like, well, he has to eat the food. And
he's been there for 3 years.
So yeah. So Shaggy Man starts to go over to this grove and he's creeping up on it. And the others are following because they're interested. And he sees a hut made from golden tree branches and golden leaves and like silver. It's made of metal. It's a metal hut. And a figure dashes away before he can even see it into the hut and closes the door. And Shaggy Man still hasn't seen this thing. Yeah. However, if this is his brother and his brother built a door out of metal, is his brother a tinsmith? Like, it's just that seems crazy to me when I imagine a door made
hey
out of
ho, hey ho, hey ho, hey ha. Hey ho, hey ho, okay. Hey ho. Yeah, we can't do that. You lost the melody and it became racist. All right. But Shaggy runs to the door of the hut and he's like, brother, brother. And he's
pounding
on the door. How horrifying. And the person inside is like, who is it, please?
And he says, it's Shaggy Man. Like, I'm here to rescue you. Like, it's your brother. And he's like, it's too late. No one can rescue me now.
What?
And Shaggy
you're
Man.
So ugly.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Shaggy Man was like, no, it's fine. Like, there's a new king. Like, we're here. We can actually rescue you. Like, you just have to come with
Things
us.
Things are different
like,
now.
Yeah, you can be free.
The ugly one, ugly to his friends, is
I
like.
Call him Uggo.
He's like, oh, no, please not free. No, not at all. No, thank you. And Shaggy's like, why
he's
wouldn't
giving,
you
like,
want to be free?
SpongeBob had bad breath.
Oh.
Do you remember? And he was like, I'm so ugly, no one's going to look at me.
Oh,
but
yeah.
He just had bad breath.
Yeah, that's, right.
That's funny, actually.
I remember that.
And the ugly one says that when he was captured by the Gnome King, he was beautiful and very handsome. And the Gnome King wanted to hurt him so bad that he cast a wicked enchantment to make him like the ugliest thing in the
oh
world.
My God.
So he and went to bed beautiful, and woke up hideous.
And then the Gnome King dragged him out of bed.
That's what I do every day.
Showed him to all of the gnomes, showed them how ugly he was. They all laughed at him.
And he's like, hey, everyone, look at the ugly one.
Yeah.
Look at the ugly one,
he's
everybody.
He's berating him.
That's traumatizing.
That's what my brain does when I walk past a mirror.
Literally. Yeah.
But then, since all the gnomes are laughing, they're not working. And then Ruggedo is like, I want you guys to work, and it's your fault they're not working. So then he punishes the ugly one for being ugly to the gnomes and puts him in the cavern and locks the door. I think he actually sealed the door shut or something.
Yeah, and he like locks him in the cavern that like leads to the metal forest. So he's just in this dark room and has to like walk until he gets there.
Yeah.
Like, that's basically what he did to the Ookaboos.
That is what he did
that
to
is.
The Ookaboos. Stop putting yeah. the metal forest where the punishments are.
I mean, if they're not able to come out, then I guess.
But then
it's
you're gonna
like,
go down there to look at your pretty gold, and like all your prisoners are gonna be like, "Oh, hey, there
yeah.
he is."
They're like, "Oh." Yeah.
The first
yeah.
time he went in there, the Ookaboos
yeah,
got
the
his ass.
Got
yeah, exactly. Actually, so if you're ever in like a dire need and you need to go to your metal forest, you're gonna get captured.
Yeah, don't put prisoners in the metal forest treasury.
That's like literally that would never happen in our country.
No. No.
But. Yeah, so horrible day for him, and now it's been 3 years, and he's been
yeah.
that day over and over and over again. And Shaggy's like, dude, come out here. Like, we're your friends. We're not going to laugh at the way you look. And the ugly one, and, like, they're all like, yeah, ugly.
We
like, come out.
I don't know. I don't
laugh.
Trust them.
Well, I know. Well, at least Dorothy's not there. You know, her
yeah,
asking
yeah.
the straight face.
Yeah.
But the ugly one refuses. And Shaggy Man turns around, and he's like, what the fuck do I do? He's like in a stage whisper.
You know, Betsy's like, does he have a mask?
Yeah. And so she offers her handkerchief to be a mask. And Shaggy Man is like, your handkerchief is tiny, but I have one that'll fit him. And that's
yeah.
a great idea to make a mask out of.
Yeah. Because yeah. the Shaggy Man uses a handkerchief that's the size of a man's head circumference.
Apparently.
It's giving Phantom it's of giving the Opera.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Except brothers.
Don't make me sing. So the Shaggy Man tells Ugly, like, hey, like, I've got the hanky for you. Like, open up the door, like, take it. You can cut holes in it. And Betsy's like, and a nose, cut a nose. And so, yeah.
Yay, damn.
So the door opens slowly, and a hand comes out and takes the handkerchief. And
down,
the door closes.
Down.
Yeah.
And he takes a minute. It takes
yeah.
a minute.
He is, like, using a pocket knife to carve these things.
Yeah.
And he needs to get it right so the eye holes are right and he's not revealing too much. But suddenly, he says, okay, everyone, like, I'm ready. And he opens the door and he appears.
Kiss me. I don't be anybody.
I see the most beautiful thing we've ever seen.
And he's wearing a mask.
But, like, maybe the body.
You know, maybe. Well, okay, so Betsy stifles a laugh to start. Because even though this sounds horrifying, it's this man she's never seen before who is, like, walking out with, like, a handkerchief mask
a
on.
A red handkerchief with white polka dots.
Yeah. Yes. It must look like a bloody white rag over his face.
Yeah, that's probably worse than what he actually
yeah.
is.
Ragged holes cut out with a pocket knife. Like, it can't be good. And his clothing is in really bad shape, though. It's, like, frayed and torn. He's been wearing the same things for 3 years.
I'm sorry. Like, is he bleeding? Like, there's no way he's so ugly that they're gonna be like,
I know.
Like,
it makes
nobody's that ugly. It's impossible to be that ugly.
But everyone feels bad for him because they're like, yeah, he looks like a prisoner. He looks like his clothes are fucked up. He's like wearing a mask. But Shaggy Man just darts forward and hugs him, and they hug for a minute. It's like, it's his brother for sure, even though he hasn't seen his face.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
So Shaggy brings his brother over. He introduces him to his friends. He introduces him to Calico. And the ugly one thanks Calico for setting him free. But he's like, you know, because of what Ruggedo did to me, I'm going to have to wear this mask forever. Like, I'm going back to the real world. Like, you fucked me, man.
Yeah. But Betsy's like, okay, well, Calico, just break the enchantment. Like, can you just break the enchantment and do magic?
Can he do magic anymore?
Calico?
Oh, Calico. I'm sorry. Yes.
Because Calico says he cannot. He's like, I don't know how to do magic. Like, Ruggedo did that enchantment. Like, he knew a bunch of strange tricks. I just don't.
Gnomes don't actually do magic. That was just Ruggedo's thing.
Yeah. And Anne is like, well, Ruggedo can break the enchantment then. Like, but he's out of here. Like, we just sent him away forever. Which I'm like, bad suggestion then, Anne. Don't bring it up.
Why are you even saying that? Like, we just got you back.
You were here when that happened.
Yeah. That's actually one of the few things you know about that's happened recently.
Where we've actually been together to figure out something together.
Pretty sure everyone else got themselves out of their binds already, and we just found you. So how about you? Let the big boys handle this.
It's okay.
But Shaggy is like, ugly, I am so happy to like have found you and gotten you back.
That's what they call him.
He's like, I am so glad I got you back. Like, I don't care if you have to wear that mask every day of your life. Like, you're my brother. I love you. And Ugly, like, this really touches his heart. But I'm like, but Ugly doesn't want to wear a mask. He wants to be normal.
He actually wants to be like what he maybe was before.
Yeah, he wants his face to stop bleeding.
Is that what's happening?
I don't know.
We don't know. But he apparently, though, from the way the mask is cut, they can tell, or Shaggy Man can tell, that he's crying. There's tears in his eyes.
Baby.
And so he like wipes his tears with his little handkerchief, or not with his handkerchief, with his coat sleeve. Like,
but they're like soaked into the handkerchief on his face.
Yeah, so he's like dabbing and like soaking them up, I guess. But that is how we end chapter 21, A Bashful Brother. And Blake, what would you call that?
Beauty's only skin deep.
Unless you're bleeding.
Unless you're bleeding.
Yeah.
Get to the doctor.
Chapter 22. Kindly kisses.
So we're getting ready to take the ugly one out of the metal forest. What do you want me to call him?
That is just
what they call him.
You keep
him.
On saying ugly, Mr. Ugly, Mrs. Ugly, the ugly one.
Oh my God. But Betsy is like, hey, ugly one, aren't you going to miss being in such a beautiful metal forest?
And he's like, no, I've been trapped there for 3 years. Yeah. Like, it's a cold and heartless place.
I've been here by choice?
Yeah, he's like, I would have died without those random food trees.
I don't know why she would even ask that question.
Yeah, but it does get us some good information. Because she's like, so you lived here for 3 years. Like, what were you eating? Like, what were those food trees? And this is actually kind of interesting.
This is wild.
It's kind of stupid.
It's a Kinder Surprise egg.
It is. Because Ugo points to the grove to the left.
Okay.
That's what I put him as my notes. I was just getting tired of writing the ugly one.
I started just writing ugly.
That'll do it. Shaggy Man, SM. But anyway. So he points over to the left and he says, oh, that's a hotel tree. And it has fruits that he calls... table d'hôte.
Table d'hôte.
Table d'hôte.
Like, we're in Paris table d'hôte. Now.
Table d'hôte. Yeah,
realize.
For some reason. But apparently, table d'hôte is a host's table. So basically, it's just like a set, like, certain coursed meal with a fixed price. So, like, that would have been back then, you know, you'd go and pay $65 and you'd get your soup. You'd get your, it's your soup salad breadsticks, basically.
Yeah. Better ingredients, better pizza.
Yeah. Wait, no.
Oh.
It's Olive
when
Garden.
When you hear your family.
No, Olive Garden. I already said it.
So these three coarse nuts, they grow on the trees like coconuts. It's like big, hard fruit. And you unscrew it. it opens like a can.
Yeah.
Or like a bottle. You unscrew it, and the top portion has a nice, good soup.
Yep. Hot soup.
Then you finish that.
You unscrew the next section, and the middle portion has meat, potatoes, vegetables, and salad. Mm-hmm. So you eat all that up. You go, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I hope that the like meat and potatoes didn't like make the salad like sauteed soggy. Though.
No.
It's magic.
No. It's temperature controlled.
Yeah. It's magic.
but then you finish that portion, you unscrew the bottom, and there's pie and cake, cheese and crackers, and nuts and raisins. Because everyone needs that much for dessert.
Yeah. I mean, if dessert is another meal, at least you make it a big one.
Soup, beef, cabbage, and salad.
I mean, if there was a and slice potatoes. Of cake, I would eat it still.
And potatoes.
Yeah. Cake, pie, cheese, crackers, nuts, raisins. Oh,
I'd
yeah.
take the cheese and crackers, and you guys could have the cake and raisins.
We all get our own.
No, let's share.
I'll eat yours.
Because when we get there, I'm going to be too full. And I...
All right. So we are also told that each like fruit that's picked has like a different selection inside. So maybe one day it's like potato soup with like, you know, beef and fucking radicchio salad. And the next day it's like a cheese and broccoli soup with a rack of ribs or something. Then so there are, it changes, which is nice.
There are also breakfast trees that grow every night. So they're ready in the morning.
Yeah.
And those are basically the same kind of fruit, except instead of soup, you get hot chocolate or coffee. Instead of meat and potatoes, you get oatmeal. And instead of like the big dessert, you get a side
stay
of fruit.
Here.
Yeah,
I know.
So,
that's why he calls it a fucking hotel.
Yeah. So, and at this point, the ugly one is like, I really liked living here, like in terms of the way that I was able to like eat like this. Like, I lived better than like most people do, but I've also not breathed any open air, and I would like to live above ground now.
Yeah.
But also,
yeah, if I wasn't around a window for that long,
yeah go crazy.
But when he gets to a bedroom, he's gonna be feral, and he's gonna be like he's gonna wake up on top of the fridge.
He's gonna tear it up into like a little mound.
It's gonna
and
be like that
on
one
fluff.
Movie, Mama.
It's I was
oh,
picturing
yeah.
Mama.
You
should watch that tonight. So basically, yeah, Ugly is so excited to get back to the surface. He thinks life on the surface is more precious than all the gold and jewels in the metal forest. And Anna's like, I think life would be a whole lot worse if I didn't have the gold and the jewels.
And Shaggy Man brings up a point that I think is dangerous to the conversation, because it goes into a place that we have frequently wanted to go but can't, because he gets into economics. He's like, well, you can get too much of a good thing, because when there's too much of it, the value goes down, because the value comes from how scarce it is. And it's like, yeah, something only has value when there's not a lot of it. Mm-hmm. Like that period, you know? And so he's like, yeah, there's too much. Like you can't enjoy it if there's a bunch of it. And it's like, well, how is it possible that Oz is the richest land in the world if it doesn't matter?
Yeah,
you know,
they
like,
yeah.
What's
pride
the difference?
Themselves on all of those jewels,
like,
but
yeah,
it doesn't matter.
It's all unlimited because they can make more by magic. It just takes it all away. You can't have an economy in magic like that.
Yeah. Well, I guess all I'll say is Shaggy Man's American and not Ozian, but still, like, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
It's just hearing that L. Frank Baum knows this is upsetting. That's
yes.
all.
Yes.
That's all.
But Calico's like, okay, like, I'm glad everyone's having like such a good time. We did rescue the ugly one. I do have a throne I want to go sit on. So
yeah.
Could we?
But he's not being shady. He's like, hey, like, I rule this kingdom now, and like, I want to go back and do that because we've done what we came to do.
He's always been a good employee.
He has been. And now a good employee does not necessarily make a good manager, but in this case it does, hopefully. Mm-hmm. But they're like, yes, let's go back. So everyone's in good spirits. Like, Betsy's walking at the back because she's trying not to laugh at like the polka dot mask that Shaggy Man's brother is in. But before they leave, Anne is like feeling a little embarrassed. And she's like, we did not conquer the Gnome Kingdom. And I know that we will not be conquering.
We're not even
going
to try.
We are never going
to
do that.
Yeah. I think you maybe learned your lesson when you got captured in the first like 10 seconds.
Yeah. But she does ask something.
She's like, I learned a lesson, so can I take some gold anyway?
Yeah.
And Calico is like, take the gold. And so her and all 16 of the officers are like, oh, whoa.
Yeah,
so for all of us.
They go fucking crazy. And they are just like shoveling things into their pockets. And good for them. But once they're done with this, again, everyone's just standing around quietly watching them probably. But they're done with that and everyone is heading out. They have the torches and they're going back up the path. But Betsy notices something interesting about this specific path.
There are jewels strewn all along the floor, like everywhere. As they're walking down the corridor, she's like, guys, look at like all these jewels. It's like a trail of jewels. And Calico is like, oh, I'm going to have to send some gnomes down here to put those back in the forest. But like, how did those get here? I don't know, Calico. How did those get here?
Yeah, because then they walk a little farther and this trail leads to Ruggedo.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, he is panting. He is dying. He is like his pockets are half
his
torn
pockets
off.
Pockets are bursting.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, dude, like you need fucking help, man.
It's so
and
gross.
He's like dead almost.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's sitting with his back against the wall and he's just like, I can't even be mad about the thread on these pockets being too weak. Because I never could have carried all of this around. He's just so humbled right now. And Betsy's like, do you have any jewels left? And he like feels around in his robe and he's like, I have some.
Which, yeah, he's like, it's enough to keep him comfortable. Yep. He's like, I don't want to be rich anymore. Like, I just need to survive. And so Calico like and Shaggy Man help him up and he sees the ugly one. And he screams and he's like, who is it? Because he's wearing a mask. And it's giving ghost.
He's scared.
And he's also like exhausted and like half dead. And Calico's like, that's the handsome prisoner who you made ugly, you fucking idiot. Like, don't be a dummy.
Yeah. And so Betsy is like, yeah, dude, that is super fucked up. Like, you should be ashamed. And Ruggedo tells her he is ashamed. Like, he should not have made the ugly one the ugly one, whatever his name was before.
Yeah.
No one knows. No one cares.
Exactly.
He's like, I really wish I could change the face back. And Betsy's like, you should. And he's like, TDT Hoochoo took my magic powers away. Like, I can't even remember the spell.
Like, if I could do magic, I would be doing magic
right
now. I
would literally make myself not humiliated right now.
Yeah. But
and Calico doesn't fucking know magic.
Yeah, and apparently no one does, at least not, like, to that extent. No. But Betsy is like, come on, like, you've got to know what the antidote is.
She's, like bad-copying him.
Yeah, she's, like, she is just fucking reaming him, and he's like, no, I don't know, and she's like, you're a pathetic piece of shit if you don't know.
She, like, smacks him across the face. She's like, oh, so you don't fucking know? You knew when you turned my friend into a fiddle, you knew exactly what the magic was.
You knew what you were doing.
Yeah.
But he thinks really, really hard, and finally, he's like, I actually can't remember. I still can't remember.
Oh, my God.
And Betsy is like, well, that's actually BS. And we've been super kind to you, but, like, you must know the antidote. And he basically just still says, no, I don't know. And he's like, I've done so much wickedness. I don't know.
He's like, why is it so important that I remember? And Betsy's like, because it's important to the Shaggy Man and his brother. Like, the dude is ashamed of himself.
You just, like, fucked up someone's whole life.
Yeah.
And she's like, it will literally cost you nothing to try and remember and do one fucking act of kindness for all the terrible you've brought into this barren wasteland.
And he's like, oh, wait, I think I just about
got
it.
On that note.
Tip of my tongue. Think.
Well, so now he seems to remember that a certain kind of a kiss will break the charm.
No.
It's either a mortal kiss or a fairy who is now a mortal kiss or just a normal fairy kiss.
I wonder if there's ever going to be a place where those three kinds of people are all in the same room.
A mortal girl, a girl who's mortal but used to be a fairy, and a fairy. If it's one of them, but if only there were three of those anywhere in the world
Could you name three people who that applies to? Like, a mortal girl could be.
Well, Bethy.
Betsy Bobbin.
Oh my God.
And a girl who's immortal now but used to be a fairy.
Oh, it's immortal now, and you. Oh, Osgood. Osgood.
And a fairy.
And who's the fairy?
Polly.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh my God, I'm so glad you said Polly. In my notes, I've been having to make sure that I write polychrome every time because Elfrink Baum never says Polly.
Yeah, he does.
Oh, no, well, he said Polly in the other book, but he only ever says
Betsy
polychrome.
Betsy calls polychrome Polly. So that's what I was thinking.
I like
I'm
Polly.
I'm going to have to look back. I love Polly for her.
You don't have to look back. You just believe me.
All right. But yeah, so he's like, yeah, it's got to be a kiss from like one of three kinds of girls. I just can't remember. But of course, no beautiful woman would ever agree to kiss the ugly one.
Yeah.
And Betsy's like, if it's a mortal girl that you need, I will kiss the ugly one if like that's going to make everything okay. Like, of course.
Okay, I thought it was kissing Ruggedo.
That's what it sounds like at first, isn't it?
No.
I was like, okay, I'll kiss the ugly one.
Either way, weird, because like, are they all children? Maybe Ozga's not, but like,
Ozga is not, and Betsy, and neither is Polychrome.
Neither.
Well, Polychrome is like thousands of years old.
Oh, well, that's true. Yes. Polychrome's
and like wise and a maiden.
It's like always 17, but actually 153.
Exactly. Don't do Edward Cullen, though.
But the ugly one.
It was Vampire Diaries. Okay. It was Stefan Salvatore.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
The ugly one is like, Betsy, that's so nice of you. Like, thank you so much. But, like, in order for you to kiss my face, I would have to take my mask off. And once you saw my face, you wouldn't do it.
Yeah. And Betsy's like, we can kiss with the lights off in the dark cave if we send the torches
7
away.
7 minutes
in heaven. Everybody agrees and they love it. And so they're like, okay, lights out. Let's get these two in the dark.
School birthday party or something. Yeah.
A small curious audience does stay behind.
Yes.
Ozga, Files, TikTok, Shaggy, Calico, and Hank.
Yeah. A group of them stay in
Polychrome.
The cave. Yes. Yeah.
So
Polychrome.
Everyone.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, everyone except for the Oogaboos and the gnomes.
Yeah. There's so many people here, it's hard to remember.
Oh, and fucking Ruggedo's in there, too.
Oh, yeah,
he
is.
Everyone.
I was like, nobody cares about the Oogaboos
just
and the
torches, the torches and the army left.
Yeah. So they close the cave door and leave, and it's total darkness, and they kind of fumble around for each other, find each other's faces, and then there's a kissing sound, and it's done.
So they're like, okay, how do we tell if it worked? And Shaggy is like, I have some matches. Since Ruggedo made the ugly one look like this, like, we should have him look. Like, the rest of us will respectfully turn our backs so the ugly can't see us looking.
And he'll have his moment.
And then,
they're so respectful.
Since Ruggedo made him like this, Ruggedo can be the one who
can. Yeah, because he knows what he looked like before, too.
Okay.
So he can verify.
So Ruggedo lights the match and looks at Ugly's face. It's like, he's like, he's still ugly.
Yeah, he's as ugly as ever.
No.
Yeah. But Rose Princess is like, okay, like, let me try. And yeah. Files doesn't
he's
like
getting
this.
Getting all three kisses. Oh, Files.
He's, yeah, Files is like,
Files is like,
my lady.
I don't feel very right about it, Ozga, but
yeah.
Has he even gotten a kiss yet?
That's a good question. Maybe they should have both had to kiss her at the same time.
He got a side hug. I knew you were going to say challengers. The way I knew.
But Files in the end, well, there's not even a conversation. We're just told that he like doesn't love this, but he's generous and wants Shaggy's brother to be okay. So he doesn't even say anything, but he's like, ugh, like, of course this is happening. But yes, like that is the only way to do it. I'm not even going to make a big deal or like say anything. So we respect that.
Okay.
So unless he talks to Rose Princess alone about it later. And if he's shitty to her then, that's not okay.
So Ozga kisses Ugly in the dark. Ruggedo checks with the match, and Shaggy's brother, still ugly.
Yeah.
So Betsy is like, hey, Polychrome, like, you're a fairy. And Polychrome's like, yeah. Like, we all saw this coming.
Yeah. She's like, yeah, I'm on my way.
I'm already walking out.
And she knows. She's like, but you know what's crazy? I've never kissed a mortal man in my thousands of years of existence.
Oh, wow. Yeah, she's like, this is kind of kinky.
Yeah.
She's, stuff like this.
But she's like, but I would happily do that to save Shaggy's brother. So she starts to, like, approach him. But it's dark, and she trips. And she just barely touches his cheek with her lip. And he feels it. He feels himself go roar, roar,
It's literally giving Shrek 2.
Like, oh my god, like,
haven't even, they don't even do the match trick yet, and he can feel it. He's like, oh my god, oh my god, Polychrome, thank you. Like, I'm better now. Like, I can feel it. So Files releases the spring-loaded rock that leads back out onto the mountain, and all this daylight rushes in, and everyone is staring at Ugly, and they're just like, taking in his like bare face.
Yeah. There's a pause. No one really is talking for a minute. And finally, Shaggy Man is like, well, you're back to normal, but you're not as handsome as I expected.
Yeah, like, you really made it seem like you were, like, crazy.
Like, the hottest thing you've ever seen.
And Betsy's like, well, no, like, he's good looking.
Like, it's not bad.
Yeah.
But Calico does say, he's like, look, I saw the ugly version. He's beautiful. And they were like, all right, I'll take your word for it. Can we, like, not be in here anymore?
Yeah, they're like, we've actually been underground for a while, and there's been a fight. So.
Let's go.
And that's the end of chapter 20. Kindly kisses. No, chapter 22. Kindly kisses. And Blake, what would you kiss that?
Okay, I didn't do the alliteration like he's been doing, but I did a rhyme. Running a train on a man who is vain.
Thank you for listening to the 50th episode of Oz Hour. Please join us next time for episode 51 as we continue with chapter 23, Ruggedo Reforms. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts, and follow us on our Instagram and TikTok at Oz Hour Podcast for the latest on everything Oz. Oz Hour, created and hosted by Blake Stone and Wyatt Swangham. Co-hosted by Hannah Aguirre. Audio production by Charlie Johnson. Theme music written and performed by Rudy Klobus. Cover art by Valentin Lucas.